Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Hello, America, and happy Wednesday. What a busy week it is. Yep, the Cheney era, at least in Wyoming in the Republican Party, is over, though she has $7.5 million of donations she didn't spend, at least until the last week of the campaign, meaning she's probably bankrolled it. And it's clear that she's going to continue to be the chief protagonist, at least in her mind, to Donald Trump and his supporters. That is one of the big headlines dominating just the news today. Welcome to the John Solomon Reports podcast. Lots of fun news to break for you today. We've got two great guests, Dr. Harvey Risch from Yale University, the epidemiologist who got the pandemic right. He's going to join us to talk about these incredible reversals going on with the CDC, with the NIH, and now even concerns about the scientific processes in posting and being transparent with medical studies. We're going to cover all of that with Dr. Harvey Risch. And then Tom Fitton is going to be here. I'm not making this up. He's going to describe why a court case about evidence that was found in Bill Clinton's sock drawers back in the 1990s could have a profound effect on the search of Donald Trump's estate in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. Yes, we can connect Bill Clinton's sock drawer to the raid on Melania Trump's closet. There's a real serious reason. It's actually a very important reason. Tom Fitton is going to bring us up to speed on that. A very, very important story all around. We had a great interview last night with Paul Manafort. We're going to play that tomorrow on the podcast. A really profound headline that he gave us. He said that the biased FBI, that's what he called them, was given lots of evidence of wrongdoing by Democrats. He provided it, but they didn't pursue it. How about that? That's going to be an important headline. All right, we got two great guests. I don't want to waste any time. I want to get right to him because the interview is going to make some news, I hope. I hope we can bring you some really new facts that you can't get anywhere else, and that's why we're going to jump right in. We're so excited. We'll take a quick commercial break when we come back up. First up, the one and only Dr. Harvey Risch from the Yale School of Public Health, one of the great epidemiologists of the world, and by the way, one of those who was incredibly on the money. I'm making this. On the money on the pandemic. His prescription, along with Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, were right on the money. And, of course, Dr. Fauci was way off, as the CDC just recently told us. Pretty exciting stuff. All right, folks, we'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean, LEAN.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Folks, eat stress-free this spring. How? With Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's great for a busy person like me. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your Springtown goals. Why do I use Factor Meals? Well, it's real simple. I'm busy, but I want to eat healthy. And if it only takes you 2 minutes, I'm all in on healthy eating. And the best part is that Factor Meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you got to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I love asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the code justnews50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That code, one more time, is justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. What are you going to do? You're going to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's a great deal. One more time. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50. Use the promo code justnews50 for half off your first order. All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. I am always excited when this next guest joins our show. He has been one of the sage, most honest voices in the medical profession, particularly during all the scare tactics and all of the pain and suffering we went through during the COVID-19 pandemic. One of the greatest epidemiologists in the world, Professor Emeritus at the Yale School of Public Health, Dr. Harvey Risch. Doctor, great to have you back on the show.
I'm very happy to be with you.
I was thinking of you a lot in the last couple of days as my reporters here at Just the News wrote the new CDC guidelines. And I read them and I said, you know, these sound incredibly familiar. They didn't come from Dr. Fauci. They didn't come from any CDC. I'm pretty sure this is what Dr. Harvey Risch was saying. Oh, back in the spring of 2020, protect the vulnerable, get everybody else into a mitigated strategy and get them back to the workplace. Your thoughts on how big a reversal the CDC guidance is?
Well, I think it's dramatic, and it basically concedes that everything that they've said, in particular about the vaccines for the last year and a half, has been wrong. That basically they're admitting that the vaccines do not prevent the spread of the infection in a way that makes them useful for public health. They said literally that the vaccines do not, two doses of the vaccine does not substantially spread, stop the spread. And for boosters, after the last booster, the benefit is transient and wanes. Now, transient to me, if you look it up in the dictionary, basically is a short period of time. And they're saying because it's a short period of time that it's not useful for a large public health policy. So they have revoked the idea of vaccination as a public health tool for stopping the spread of the infection, and therefore they have revoked any rational consideration of mandates for using something that has failed as a tool. So to me, the mandates are basically out the window at this point, and nobody can point to the CDC and say that the mandates are justified.
If there's a school district or a company or a city that's imposed that mandate, I saw Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are still enforcing their mandate. They don't have a legal or scientific basis to persist that mandate. That's what's so remarkable about this moment. I tie this back to something that I think was the precursor. I thought I saw the firework or the flare gun behind this announcement about 3 weeks ago, because when Dr. Deborah Birx went on television, and I mean whipsawed me and probably all of us by saying, I knew all along that these vaccines were not going to prevent infection. You kind of knew that maybe there was a bigger shoe to fall. What does it say about the public health infrastructure that, one, we got it this wrong, because that's what the CDC proclamation is. We got it entirely wrong. And two, the medical official who was instrumental in imposing the mandates, the fear, the assurances that this was the silver bullet cure-all, which, of course, you never believe that. What does it say that all of those things have gone in reversal? We got it wrong. We were lied to. And there never was a silver magic bullet. What does it say about the state of public health in America?
Well, the first thing it says is that hope is not a public health policy. that you can't hope that things work, you know, and expect that to be any rational appropriate approach. The second thing is that everybody knew that it was a sham while it was happening, because it was a one size fits all, and there was no consideration of people with natural immunity, people who actually needed it to protect themselves, versus people whom the infection posed essentially zero or trivial risk. The issue of rushing to try to vaccinate children and young children when they had no need for this as a general rule, and so on. These were all such gigantic red flags that you knew that there was some kind of malfeasance going on pushing these approaches. So basically what they're saying is now they're admitting that the thing didn't work. They're not admitting that what they did was wrong. They're just hoping that nobody will remind them. They're misremembering it, as they're saying, and trying to cover up their tracks, as Dr. Birx did. She said, "Oh, well, I always knew that it would never work, you know, and I'm innocent. I didn't push them, you know," and those kinds of messages, which is absurd because she was behind the whole thing.
It is absurd, and it is almost breathtaking to think that people of your caliber of excellence, I mean, you have a 20, 30 year of extraordinary work, Jay Bhattacharya, all the people who signed the Great Barrington Declaration, for instance, these were not crackpots. These weren't people that went down and read a medical book and came out and said, "I've got the solution." You were all cast as heretics. You were cast as putting public safety in jeopardy, and you turned out to be right. Is there a moment where those in power realize that we went too far, that science works best when dissent is seriously considered and not just bowled over? When I read that, you know, when I look at the scientific method, looking at contrary evidence is like essential to the scientific method. Do you think we're at a pause moment where the industry at large, the big industry that controls the NIH and the CDC and the FDA, say, you know what, we not only treated people like Dr. Harvey Risch and Jay Bhattacharya and others wrongly, we defy the rules of our own scientific profession?
Honestly, I don't think they'll admit that. I think that basically they're not reasoning like scientists. They're reasoning like generals in a war that made a bad decision in how to carry out a war. And when they were confronted with the reality of their bad decision, they move on to the next decision and the next approach for carrying on the war. I think they're not going to self-question to any large degree.
We now know that there is a public health consequence, at least in some circumstances, and there's evidence that maybe more, that this bad approach actually had a significant impact on the well-being of Americans. We'll start with the isolation, the loss of learning with children, depression, drug increase. So we know the socio-psychological impact of it. We now know that young men particularly were at higher risk of getting inflamed hearts and dying from it. That's not in doubt. And now today there are some new documents out by Naomi Wolf. We haven't gotten to the bottom of them yet, but they suggest that there could be a connection between miscarriages and the vaccine, certainly at least of the women in one of the medical trials. And there's a similar one about menstruation problems that is currently underway, but an early acknowledgement that women may also have had their menstrual cycles significantly hampered with. The fact that there are victims of this mistakes, and the victims of this approach, do we come to grips with that at some point?
Well, when we have, you know, some kind of hearings and trial and investigation, we might. Certainly the people who abetted all of the problems and the damage are not going to do anything other than try to cover their tracks. And, you know, I think that so many people got damaged over this, and they're just cavalierly dismissed as collateral damage by a military approach to this, that, you know, think about it. The head of public health is a surgeon general. It's not the chief surgeon. It's the surgeon general. Is the war military, campaign of public health is a military style organization, which doesn't, you know, allow for science. It allows for dictates and authority, and no questioning. And the whole idea of how public health is done in that fashion is inappropriate when you desperately need the science in new pandemic circumstances.
It's amazing. When I was a little boy, I used to go to my pediatrician, and he was this short little, like 4'11", 5-foot guy, Dr. John Russo, but he packed a larger than life punch. And I remember as a little boy, I'd be sitting on the table waiting for him to come in, and he always had the Hippocratic Oath on there, and he circled around one phrase, do no harm. He used to always, I remember the big red circle he put about that. It seems like the Hippocratic Oath got turned upside down in this pandemic. We sent patients to nursing homes, infected, putting vulnerable populations together, young men with heart inflammation. It's going to be a remarkable moment to take the final cost of human toll in this. And even though the CYA establishment won't do it, I think it's incumbent on news organizations and such influential voices as you to get the full human toll out there. And I'm fearful of another thing, and I think I know you are too. It seems like we're just starting to crank up for a new fall vaccination program. Will we see the same fear-mongering that we saw in the first wave of vaccination pushes?
Undoubtedly. There's no other way to push a mass vaccination campaign that people would not choose to take of their free will without fear-mongering and force and threats of force. That people have seen the damage that's been done from the vaccine so far, and the new vaccine threatened to be even more damaging than the existing ones. And the reason for that is that the small studies, such as they are, on the new vaccines only examined them in unvaccinated people. And when you give these vaccines to more mRNA vaccines to people who've had 3 and 4 shots of the original ones, what you're going to do is you're going to dramatically increase the original antigenic sin antibody dependent enhancement problems coming up. And so instead of the message is going to be take these vaccines so that we don't have a new wave with new mutants. And what will happen instead is that they will generate ever-increasing waves of new mutants. And the reason for that is that the viruses that are still going around in circulation, that are still present, that will be at a low level throughout the society, will be given immunologic open season, free rein on reproducing in people who get these vaccines that will be out of date by the time they come out. The Omicron component will be earlier Omicron compared to the one that BA5 or the next version that is largely out in another month. And so they'll be partially out of date already. They will generate the original in vaccinated people. They'll just generate more of the original vaccine antibodies and be counterproductive because those antibodies won't neutralize the new Omicron or any Omicron very much. And so the variants will just continue to occur as the virus does what it normally does, which is to mutate day in, day out in every person that's infected. And so it's going to generate even more mutants. Geert Van den Bosch has written this up quite extensively about what's going to happen with these new vaccines. And so instead of providing any benefit for people, which is not necessary, they're going to be damaging to the population immunity as a whole to generate even more waves and successive waves going well past the winter and into the spring, if not longer. It's counterproductive, and honestly, it's stupid, to be honest, because we're dealing now with an infection, a COVID infection, that's no worse than a typical flu season. And we don't mandate vaccination for flu. We've never had an emergency for flu. You know, we never called a national emergency for flu, and we should not be calling a national emergency for COVID now. The emergency has passed. Once Omicron got here, the emergency dissipated, and there's no government recognition of that fact because it seized the power that it wants to control for its own nefarious purposes rather than for a real public health use. And so that's where we're at. The government has seized this power and won't relinquish it, and is using that to try to push through more vaccinations that will only be damaging. And it's already bought the vaccines, so it's committed to doing this. So, you know, just you can expect to see more campaigns of the fear-mongering. Do your part. Help America survive the next pandemic. Keep people from getting sick. Do your part. Get vaccinated. That's what you can expect to see.
Yeah, wow. We're actually poking nature when we shouldn't poke nature right now, because nature right now has the virus in a state where we can pretty much manage it and get people better and back to work. It's just amazing to think that we're in that moment. A lot of people ask me this question, and I don't have an answer for it, but I think you've seen enough of it. You probably have some wisdom to share on it. What drove this? Was it just the desire of drug companies to have a expensive new vaccine that they could cash in on by the billions? Was it Anthony Fauci's desire to finally get to carry out a pandemic plan and make it his legacy? There seems to be so many decisions that were made in the absence of common sense and also in contradiction to the normal procedures of medicine and science. It seems like there's some forces that were causing this to happen. As you look back, what are some of those forces? Because we want to learn from them, right? We want to not repeat history again.
Well, I think it's very hard to know because there are so many big forces, you know, the oligarchy of our society that has been involved for its own financial, massive financial interests, that it's really hard to tease apart which part of it is really responsible when they're all conspiring. You know, Event 201 is not a conspiracy theory. It's an actual conspiracy. There are 200 people or whatever in the room conspiring to figure out how to push this whole pandemic management on the world. You know, that's a conspiracy. When those people conspired in their plans, that's a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy theory. And that's what we have lived through. The question has arisen whether the virus had been spreading before Event 201 even occurred. That was September of 2019. There's now some suggestions that people had COVID and died from COVID even into 2018, that it predated it and wasn't really identified as an epidemic illness until fall of 2019, but it had actually started circulating earlier. There's now some interest and probably some activity in looking at stored biological samples to see whether they can identify the virus, you know, from earlier than fall 2019. The virus was found in stored samples in Italy in September 2019, and it was found in sewage in samples in Brazil from November of 2019. So it was already circulating, and the question is how much earlier.
Fascinating. I mean, think about it. I mean, we may have had the whole thing wrong. Probably did have the whole thing wrong. Not may. We did. We certainly had large components, but we might have missed it for a while as well. I want to finish with one thing, because I know you believe not only in following the rules of science, but that in holding those in accountable. There was an extraordinary moment just a few hours ago, the National Academy of Sciences announcing that the Deputy White House Climate Advisor, so one of the top aides to President Biden, Jane Lubchenco, is going to be banned from any National Academy of Sciences proceedings for the next 5 years because of conflicts of interest and violations of its code of conduct. This includes having a conflict of interest with a relative involved in the study and also using outdated data to make a current conclusion. It's pretty extraordinary for the NAS to make a public declaration and kind of expose this. Your thoughts about the state of science when you hear that someone who's currently in the White House got caught doing something this egregious?
Well, unfortunately, human nature is human nature, and people succumb to blandishments and conflicts of interest, you know, because of the benefits, and they think that they won't be caught, and that's just part of it. It's very difficult for people to stay as clean as they should. And, you know, but the science has to be done as objectively as possible, bearing that in mind. So when this is discovered, it sounds so despicable. It probably is a bit larger than just that one individual, not in what he did, but it's, you know, there's instances of this all around that are just not widely known. So, you know, this one was discovered in high profile.
Last question. We know what's coming. You gave us a great view of the scare wave that's probably coming in the fall. As someone who had this approach right now, the CDC now acknowledges, though they don't mention you by name, that your approach, Jay Bhattacharya's approach, those were the right approaches. What should Americans, if you're an American listening, what is the right mentality to take into the fall and winter when this new wave of fear-mongering begins?
To shrug it off, to laugh it off. To say that these people are up to the same old shenanigans and we're not going to take it anymore. As they say, the first time you're tricked, it's their fault. The second time you're tricked, it's your fault. you know, that we've been through this before, and that there's plenty of medications that are, you don't have to take Paxlovid, which doesn't work well. If you get COVID and you get sick with it, there, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, other medications are available. If your doctor won't prescribe it, then telemedicine groups will. And so there's every reason to think that there's backup for people who get uncomfortably sick. Normal, healthy people without serious comorbidities like diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular diseases, chronic kidney disease, and so on, those kind of people will survive it, again, very well. It can be unpleasant to have. You know, the sore throat can be pretty bad and feeling really worn out and so on, like the flu, but you get through it in a few days. The thing about Paxlovid is it makes it longer, and if it recurs, even longer than that. Paxlovid is basically a pause, not a cure, and so it's just not doing a very good job. Whereas these other medications do really well. The patients that I've sent for treatment to other doctors report back to me that they've gotten substantially better in 2 days or 3 days.
Wow. And what are those? I mean, what are the ones you would recommend just from the anecdotal or scientific evidence you have? What are you recommending?
No, the scientific evidence is quite strong that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are the main components of the medication regimen. They can be used together if a person doesn't do too well on one or the other. They have to be used in enough doses that they actually work, particularly for ivermectin. But the dosing is pretty standard. Doctors know how to do that. There's other things to add. If there's a lot of lung involvement, there isn't usually, but there can be a little if there is. One can add an inhaled steroid like budesonide. And there's other medications, too, that people have been looking at, in addition to nasal sprays and gargles with things like povidone iodine solutions, diluted or diluted hydrogen peroxide, or even acetylpyridinium chloride, which is the active ingredient in Crest Fresh Mint mouthwash, I think, and other mouthwashes that have acetylpyridinium chloride. You gargle with that 5 times a day and rinse your mouth, you know, for 30 or 40 seconds, in addition to the other medications, you know. And I think that there's a whole repertoire now that telemedicine doctors have been using very proficiently, works very well. And it just treats this like, an annoying flu-like illness that you get through. And the people who get really sick, who have comorbidities, who need more aggressive treatment, can be treated the same way, but with more aggressive monitoring and follow-up to deal with it. So, this is a totally manageable circumstance that is not an emergency, does not need to be treated with fear. It's just something that we get through, and if we don't encourage more mutations with vaccines that encourage the mutations, it'll end faster in the population as a whole also.
Amazing. It's amazing. Well, history will look back. I've said this many times, Doctor, and I don't give praise often, but your sage way of dealing with this, the scientific approach you took, proved to be the right one. And I just think, I've said this many times, I just think, what if you were in Dr. Fauci's chair, what the difference might have been? And we're just so grateful you had the courage, despite all of the flack you took, to stick to your guns, because history shows you were right. And what an honor to have you back on the show today.
It's my pleasure. You know, nature's not going to lie. And I just do the best I can in reporting the observations that I have about nature. And I leave it at that. And, you know, I hope that they're good and they work. And that's all I can do.
Well, you followed the scientific procedure, unlike a lot of those in Washington, and we're sure grateful for that. So many thanks. I can't wait to get you back on, because we'll have to combat some of this fear-mongering in the fall, for sure.
Sure. Great to be with you.
You as well, sir. Have a great day. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Tom Fitton's going to join us. We have a little discussion about some of the new records coming out in a 2012 case that might have a lot of relevance to the search at Mar-a-Lago right after this. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. Always excited to have this next guest on. He's on the front lines of creating transparency from a federal government that often is allergic to transparency. He is none other than the president of Judicial Watch and our good friend, Tom Fitton. Tom, great to have you on the show today.
Hey, good to be with you again, John. Thank you for the good word.
It's amazing how many times things you did in the past come back up and they're relevant to the current debate. And I want to have a little fun today because there is a direct dotted line between Bill Clinton's sock drawer and the raid on Melania's closet at Mar-a-Lago. And I want to walk through that today. It's an amazing thing that your team did. But walk us through the importance of the case where you found the audio tapes that Bill Clinton had kept in his sock drawer of his conversations as president with a historian. An amazing case.
Yeah, I don't even remember how we found out about it. Maybe there was a news story about it. And there was Taylor Branch had done a book on Clinton, you may recall. And he recorded some of his conversations with him for the book. And Clinton kept copies of, I think it was more than one tape. But the tapes included at least his half of the conversation with foreign leaders, members of Congress, and other government officials. So we saw that and we said, hey, what about the Presidential Records Act? Aren't these in the library? Because we had been litigating against the library for probably 15 years at that point. And so we sued the archives and they came back to us and they told us, you know, go pound sand. And we're in court before one of the most the left-wing judges on the bench, Beryl Howe. She's an expert, though, in FOIA matters and open records matters. The government, the lawyer for the archives said, you know what? If the documents are in the former president's hands, they're presumptively personal. We presume they're personal. And sure enough, the court found later in an opinion that the archives couldn't get behind the decision by a president to term documents either personal or presidential. So that's the position. That's not only the legal position of the Justice Department, but it's the law. And obviously, it's bolstered by the Constitution, which gives ultimate classification authority by virtue of his role as commander-in-chief to the president. So essentially, anything he took with him out of the White House, the Justice Department previously had told us in response to a question about Bill Clinton, tough luck, it's his. But they changed their mind for Donald Trump. And I want to know, did they tell the court that? They tell the court this, our policy and the law and a court decision suggests that Trump is right. And frankly, I don't, based on this analysis, Trump should get every single document they took from him back because they're all personal records.
Thanks to you, I've been able to read through the transcripts and the final court ruling by the judge. And, you know, it's pretty clear the court and the Justice Department are of the same mind, which is the president's authority to decide what's a personal government record is absolute, just like the president's ability to classify a document is absolute. So that's going to be the history on which, when this gets into the courts, it's going to turn on. The history is clearly, a legal precedent, clearly in favor of the president. The Justice Department had to know at some point someone was going to dig this stuff up. Why do they take the risk of the raid? Have you developed a theory why they do this? And is it really about the records at all?
You know, that's a good question. You know, you kind of raised an interesting issue because, you know, I started raising this issue online back in February or January when this news first came up that there was this dispute, and the media took note of it. And the experts who are basically former government experts were trying to shoot it down. Even I was right, but they were trying to shoot it down in their fact checks. So you can be sure they knew this issue was out there and this was a, quote, a forgotten case. And then it leads to the other question is what were they really doing here? And what, you know, if the goal is to harass the president and to try to jail him on whatever might possibly stick, this is probably something that they saw, hey, this is something we can go in on. And they let their hatred for Trump overcome their legal acumen and analysis to the degree it exists. You know, people have to remember that the agencies, Justice Department, the leadership of the FBI, it's left to center, liberal, and certainly in the case of the Justice Department, almost universally Democrat. And I'm not just talking about the appointees of Biden, I'm talking about the other lawyers, and it goes for other federal agencies as well. So they're partisan ideologues, and they hate Trump. And that's what's going on here.
Yeah, such an important thing to remind people of that. That is the dynamic. I had a chance to interview you the other day. You were the first person to call a lot of over-collection in this search raid. Just when you look at the thing, and a few hours after that, well, what do you know? The FBI said, oh, we over-collected. We collected passport, privileged materials. We're working on a process to get it back to you. This is like the most historic raid that any FBI agent could possibly participate in. They know they're creating history by raiding the home of a former president, and yet they don't get the basics right. They overcollect. What does that say about the skill set of the FBI today?
Well, I saw your headline there, overcollect, and I thought, John, you were being so charitable.
Yes, I probably was.
I mean, they went in there with a vacuum cleaner. They didn't care. You don't take passports without pause. It's not the sort of thing that, oh, well, I don't know what that is. Just throw it in there. And it highlights, the lack of good faith by the operators who went in there, and B, the broad nature of the warrant. I thought, you know, one of the, you know, the media just pretends, I mean, pretends that we're stupid and, you know, we're supposed to ignore our plain eyes. And Garland told us, typically, we don't do raids. So this was atypical. And typically, we have narrow search requests. So what's the mirror of that? A broad one. So they went in under Garland's own admission on a fishing expedition, and the proof is in the pudding. They came up with his passports. And I was thinking about this today, John, and I don't know if your reporting has borne this out yet. This must be a national security issue. Not in the sense they think it is, but in the sense America is being destabilized by this administration. And I would think our friends and our enemies are looking at us thinking, what's going on there? Is the government stable? Because, you know, we're used to this, but America ain't. And it's very concerning. And I hope people don't draw, I hope our enemies don't draw the wrong conclusions. And certainly I hope our friends don't draw the wrong conclusions. Because if they think we're not stable and we're weak, who knows what will happen?
Yeah. And also, they've always looked to us to the example of freedom. And this looks like anything but freedom anymore. It looks like banana republic politics. And that's got to be unsettling to people who still believe in democracy and constitutional republics around the world. Last question. You've done some amazing work on Dr. Anthony Fauci and getting us documents he's never wanted to turn over to the American public. Like 3-4 days ago, the CDC basically just said, we got everything wrong. Of course, they didn't say that, but they basically put out all new rules that reversed everything that they had been telling us for 2.5 years. You look at this and you see the crushing of dissent. Any doctor that challenged their position 2 years ago was called a quackpot, a risk to medical health. Now you're seeing people like the Homeland Security Department, the FBI, and Garland saying anyone that has a question about an open border or the raid on Donald Trump, they pose a domestic terrorism threat. This is a moment where dissent is being crushed in the name of security and health, and it's not even true. The end result is they crush something with a lie. When do we start to begin to unravel this dynamic with the government? What's the solution for this?
Well, you know, we had part of the solution at the end of the Trump administration where he and his people said, you know, look, that we have these, and the left distorts this. We've got these bureaucrats who are exercising extraordinary power, and they're not accountable in a traditional sense to the president. So if they're making policy decisions that really a political appointee ought to be making, we're going to make their position subject to immediate removal by the president or their. And so in my view is expanding that, expanding the number of political appointees while curtailing the power of government. You know, we can talk about Fauci, for some length, but certainly the goal of any good conservative Congress or a good conservative president would be to make sure there is never again another Fauci, someone who's been able to accumulate so much power within an agency that essentially he's warping the whole public health establishment, not only here in the United States, but abroad. You know, Fauci has way too much power, given his lack of accountability within our system. And I don't mean he's unaccountable and that he can't be fired. It means he's acting like a political appointee when in fact he's a civil servant. We can't have that anymore.
Yeah, that's it. They're making policy. They're not carrying out policy. They've actually become the policymakers. Tom, it is always an honor to have you on. It's so amazing to watch the work of Judicial Watch. I can't wait to see your next big lawsuit or your next big document dump because America is going to be a lot better for it. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, John.
All right, folks, we'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this. Hey, folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just
$30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back. What a great day. A big thanks to Tom Fitton. A lot of thoughts. Who knew that a Bill Clinton case from the 1990s could have such a profound relationship to the extraordinary historic raid on Mar-a-Lago last week? But that's why we bring people like Tom on the show. We learn something. We get something. We make some news. We get some better understandings and facts so that you can go and make up your own mind, which is really what we're all about. We want you to get facts and make up your own mind whenever you can. We'll have a lot more on the Judicial Watch case from 1992 on the website tomorrow morning. Go to justthenews.com. We got you covered there. I want to tell you about a couple of very important tools that are available to you. If you haven't done it yet, please go do this. This will be a big benefit to you. We've created here at Just the News an iOS and Android app to make the Just the News more accessible to you, more tangible to you, because there's really three ways to consume us. You can listen to us. That's what you're doing now in the podcast. You can watch us on the TV show or on the 40 to 50 videos a day we put up, or you can read us. Watch, listen, read. That's what the app does. It has a little slider on the bottom. You pick what you want. I want to read stories. I want to listen to podcasts. I want to watch television, Just the News television. We've got it covered. Go download that app. It is an incredible asset. It's really well designed. A lot of people love it. We're going to come out with a new version in a few months, but get ahead on it. You'll get the new version free of charge. Doesn't cost any money. You don't have to pay a dime for it, but it sort of gives you a 3D experience to the Just the News community. I really want you to encourage that. And the second thing you can do is if you go to justthenews.com/subscribe, you can sign up for our newsletter. Go do that. We have a daily newsletter with the top 40 stories that we produce every day. Why not get that in your inbox? It's a quick summary. You can read it fast or do a deep dive by clicking on each story. But that's a really valuable thing. And then some people say, John, I'd love to get together with you. I've had questions for you for the longest time. Well, I've got a solution for you. We have a special club, a group of super subscribers at Just the News. They're called the Just the News VIP Club. Just the News VIP Club. If you are interested in joining that club, these are the benefits. First, you get to read the website without ads. Once you log in, all the ads will disappear. That's pretty cool, right? You'll definitely want to check that out. I love that. And then you'll be able to attend a once a month private meeting with me. Online, of course. Digital Town Hall is what I call it. The VIP club meeting every month. And you can submit your questions to me and you'll be able to get answers. I try to answer every question that comes in from one of our VIP club members. We do it for about an hour, hour and a half, usually the last week of the month. It's really super exciting. You can get in on that by going to justthenews.com/subscribe. That's pretty easy to remember. Just go to justthenews.com/subscribe. It's as little as $5 a month. You can get it for like $39 or $40 a year if you pay it up front. It's a great way to get involved and have a one-on-one conversation with me and a lot of the great reporters here. We often will bring reporters on, which we love, and that makes it a lot of fun. All right, folks, thank you. Thank you for being a part of the John Solomon Reports family, the JustTheNews.com family. You know you can go to JustTheNews.com 24/7. To get a big thanks to Dr. Harvey Risch and to Tom Fitton for their appearances today. Very exciting. We'll have more news tonight on the Just the News, Not Noise TV show on Real America's Voice, 6 p.m. Eastern. Check us out there as well. All right. Have a great night. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a great night. Enjoy your family. Enjoy these last days of summer before the kids go back to school. And of course, whenever you need a news fix, you know what to do. Go to justthenews.com. We got you covered 24/7.
It's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story, but this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.